Transform your home in one weekend and save big money at Menards. Protect and enjoy your outdoor living space with Thompson's semi-transparent wood sealer. It maintains wood's natural color and provides durable year-round protection from water and sun damage in just one coat. Save big money on Thompson's water seal products. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show, and if you have been listening to the previous show, you know we got a different voice, at least as far as the producer role is concerned. Michael Carroll joins us for the day. Of course, you may know him as the man who joins us right around 11:30 on Fridays to talk movies and television, giant Cougs fan. We may find out what else he knows about the world of sports, because all we generally do is talk to you about movies, television, and the Cougs.
That's true.
So we will see what you... and. We do know you hate a Super Bowl party where people talk to you.
Yeah, don't talk to me.
Yeah, so we will figure out some of Michael's maybe likes or dislikes, what he thinks about, you know, a UH judge allowing Brendan Torsby to play football against his Cougs. Who knows what we'll get into today.
That Super Bowl party rule can now apply to NBA Finals parties or anything like that. Like, just don't talk to me.
Well, if you bring a sitting president around, you won't have a party because the watch parties get closed down.
Yeah. Shut down completely.
Yeah, and then the home team loses. So we'll talk about the Knicks Spurs in a little bit. But let's talk about what else happened late last night, this time in Anaheim, where the Astros get a win. You get contributions from an outfield that's much maligned. Bryce Matthews throws out Mike Trout late. You got Cam Smith driving in a run to tie the game late. And, of course, you've got the biggest play of the game. A play that even the guy who perpetrated it, and I say that because it almost felt like a crime when he took off from third, he can't really explain what he did other than I just felt like I had to go. I've decided Jose Altuve just had the zoomies. He decided I just got to run. And let's hear from the man who scored the winning run in the top of the 10th to give the Astros a 5-4 win over the Angels. Let's hear from Altuve on what led to his decision.
I think that was kind of like a bad play with a good result, you know. So, and ended up winning the game, so I'm going to take it.
You just feel you had to force the issue there and make them kind of, you know, make the play?
I think that I let the adrenaline go on in that moment. So, you know, I was ready for every fly ball to the outfield, but... You know, obviously it was a little shorter, but I kind of was like committed to go, so I take it. Also, a game-winning RBI by Jake, so that's the way I see it, and happy that we won this game.
At what point do you actually decide you're going
to
go?
I don't know. Like, it's really hard to tell when, you know. In that moment, you're just full of adrenaline. You want to win the game, so I didn't really think. I just ran without thinking, so.
There it is. He ran without thinking. And it's not an RBI for Jake Meyers. It was ruled a fielding error because he should have been out by 20 feet. We're taking it, as you heard him talk about, but Seth Payne screenshotted the moment the ball should have been caught by the catcher and where Altuve was. It's not even close. A simple play by the catcher in question, and Altuve's out, and it goes on his jacket as one of his many base running errors. You heard him. I wasn't even thinking. The adrenaline got to me, and I just tried to score. And he's fortunate. The throw wasn't terrible. His axe was pretty good. It was a one-hop. It'll have been right into the catcher's breadbasket. All he had to do was make a play. Whereas Colin Price made a play. The Astro catcher who got called up I think he got his first major league hit yesterday. On the Bryce Matthews throw home, he made a play to block the plate, tag out Mike Trout, and keep the former MVP from scoring. So it's just a matter of, can your catcher make the play to field a short hop? Our guy did it. The Angels catcher did not. So we walk away with the win in a series in Anaheim where the Astros have to make some do or make some hay, I guess. They won 2 out of 3 against a bad A's team. This is another opportunity to win a game against or win a series against a bad team. You didn't even get a great start from Eric Geddy. He was fine. He struggled a little bit. Gave up 3 in 6 innings, something we're not accustomed to. He didn't have a great start in his previous start. It led to him calling his performance ass. This was a little better than ass. It is a quality start, and the Astros do get the dub. So we'll take it. You heard the franchise's best player say that, and in a season where wins have, well, less so, but overall hard to come by, but I think they're like 12-7 in their last 19. We're at the point now where people are doing the thing. Ben Verlander's back on the Astros are going to make the playoffs. This is a little different from the Astros are inevitable, which had been his tagline when the team is at the time he posted it like 6-7 games under 500. You can't really tell people they're inevitable, but he does think they're making the playoffs. So we're back at that point, and I saw someone figure out that if the Astros continue at this pace where I guess 12-7 is like 632 baseball, that if they continue at this pace for the rest of the year, they're going to win 90 games. Okay, thanks. If they continue at a pace they have not shown that they're capable of doing other than this recent stretch, they're going to win 90 games? All right.
What, you don't believe that?
I would just need more. I just would need more evidence to make me believe that this team who can't put together a long winning streak because of the, let's just say, the volatility of their rotation, I'm supposed to believe they're going to play 632 baseball the rest of the way?
Yeah. I mean, if Jose Altuve can have the zoomies, what puts 90 games out?
You're right. You know what?
Chance?
You know what? If I can depend on Angels' failures, which is something you can bet on, the Angels stink. If I can depend on that across the rest of baseball, then maybe. Look, I'll take it. They're playing better baseball. They're getting ever closer to 500. It's going to take a while. They can't put a long winning streak together, but eventually they'll get there. And as has been stated by the show before, no matter what anyone wants to do with math, get to 500, and then I'll seriously consider any potential outcomes for this year as viable if they can get back to 500. And they're working their way there, and they got the Angels again tonight, and with them on the other side, you got a shot. Tang's back on the mound tonight. He has not pitched great the last couple starts. He had a good run previously, but in his last couple starts, he's gone 5. He gave up 5 in against the Pirates here last week, and then against Milwaukee, he gave up 3 runs in 5 innings. So he hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been great. So hopefully he can get back to what he was before, where he had a couple starts where he didn't give up any runs. He'll go against Urena of the A's. So you get the win, and I mentioned Bryce Matthews and Cam Smith contributing, one with their arm, the other with his bat in Cam Smith's case. That's good for an outfield that has not been great overall. Chandler Rome tweeted this out, that the Astros outfield began the road trip with a 301 on base percentage. Only 3 outfields in club history have finished a season with a lower on-base percentage. Back when they were the Colt 45s in 1964 and the 2012-13 Astros, you know, part of the dark years.
91 pace is all I'm hearing.
Well, there are numbers on both sides, Michael. I'll just say. The positive is they keep playing this way. Even with this bad outfield, they're going to win 90 games. The other part is this outfield's on track to be one of the worst in franchise history. But they had their moments yesterday. And we'll take it as the Astros get a win in Anaheim. We've already got someone making a request of you, Michael.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen the new Guy Ritchie joint.
Oh, in the gray, right?
Yes.
I haven't had a chance to see it. I was going to watch it, but then reviews started pouring in. Not so good.
Not so great.
It was, I think I talked about it when I was with you on the day it released. When the review embargo didn't lift until the day of the movie releasing, that was a big red flag. And sure enough, I would wait on streaming for that one.
Yeah, Art, if you want to see In the Gray because you're a big Rosamund Pike fan, wait on it. It'll come to streaming.
It's a good cast. You would think it would be good, but that
people you like is Isaac Gonzalez, who did something on Hot Ones where she figured out where she kind of flipped the switch on the game, where apparently if you taste salt beforehand, it limits the effects of the spicy wings. She brought that to the table. She's also, you know, working quite a bit. We've seen her around. And it has Carlos Bardem. Yes, the other Bardem.
There's another Bardem?
There's a Bardem brother.
Oh.
And he's in that one, too. Certainly less famous than his brother who's currently starring as Max Cady in Cape Fear. I did not know there was another Bardem brother, but there is. And he got to be in the Gray.
Wow.
And I recognize this guy's face. But for the most part, he's just been a guy as a character actor. I imagine it might be still the same thing in the Gray when you have Jake Gyllenhaal and Henry Cavill in it. So he may not have a giant role, but he's in it. And so both Bardems, gainfully employed.
Hey, good looking out.
I wonder how that works because we think about it in football. Like you have the Mannings. We didn't think it would go this way, but they both got two Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
We go around, of course, we have the Thompson twins currently, where Sean and I were talking about. Both are due for a new contract. The question is, does Amon get like $50 million more than his brother does and how that plays out in the family? And then you have the Bardems, one highly thought of. Anytime he's in something, you're like, man, Javier Bardem's in this? I got to watch it. Does that say Carlos Bardem? Who is that? That's just the dynamic. I'm sure mom loves both of them.
I'm sure mom loves both of them, but at the family get-togethers, it's very much like, oh, you're still working? Oh, okay, that's cool.
Hey, yeah. Carlos, tell us what you're in. Carlos is the older brother, too, so that's got to sting a little
bit. Oh, that sucks. That sucks. Yeah.
Javier probably followed him into acting, and now look at him. Javier can be in No Country for Old Men and be the villain in an Apple Prestige television show. And Carlos is a guy I only recognize by his face.
This is the first I've heard that he's in this.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I'm saying. All right, we'll go to break. When we come back, we'll talk some NBA Finals. We've got a series that now becomes one because the Spurs finally get a victory. And you saw, if you watched them walking off the floor, Wimby just kept pumping his fist. It was certainly a big one. And they get it in New York, and we can talk about all the circus surrounding that and also the game itself. We'll get to that when we come back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We're certainly taking calls. Well, the number is 713-780-3776. So if you want to talk about Sorsby, which somehow, some way, Texas Tech has united college football against them. College football doesn't agree on much. College sports overall don't agree on much. But Texas Tech has had an interesting late spring into potentially early summer. It's not officially summer, but if it's like 85 degrees outside, I think it's safe to call it summer. They've had the back and forth in softball where their team is considered the best team money can buy. Now, they didn't win the titles. Texas took them out. But you have the issues in Florida against the Gators because one of the Tech players is a former Gator who happens to be the daughter of a Gator legend, basketball player Jason Williams. And now you have this where Brendan Sorsby can play because a sympathetic judge saw the case his way. And now all of college football is deciding whether Tech should be excommunicated from college athletics. The Big Ten's trying to get together and not play them in anything. The Georgia AD says, excuse me, Anyone who's got plans or is thinking about playing tech in any sport, let me know. Let the athletic department know before you go through with those plans. I didn't know it was so segmented, like the tennis coach could schedule something against Georgia without the AD knowing until it was completed. How does that happen? I guess you can't pay attention to everything and you give some of those people autonomy, and maybe the track coach can schedule something and then let you know about it after it's already been finalized. So people are out to get tech. If you have thoughts on that, you certainly can join us, but we'll get to the NBA here. Watching the game, it almost felt like the Spurs were going to do the thing that they've done against the Knicks, where they lead, but the Knicks closed them out. And it was trending that way. Now, Harper knocked down, was it Castle? Castle knocked down a big three late, as I think the Knicks got within three, and then eventually they got within two. And, of course, the big shot is De'Aaron Fox knocking down the mid-range to give the Spurs the win. But it's kind of an odd series where Jalen Brunson has not shot the ball well.
He's been off completely.
Yeah, and the Knicks are actually better when he's off the floor as far as plus-minus than when he's on the floor. Of course, that could just be small sample size. You're not going to take your best player off the floor. It's just been odd that you got to give the Spurs credit. Their defense on him has certainly flustered him. He's not knocking down shots you sometimes normally see him take. He's always been smaller than his defender, but they're throwing waves at him, and they're physical, which is probably the bigger point, that there's a lot of physicality in this series, more so than you would certainly see in a regular season. As I was watching the game and at the pace that both teams are playing at and the physicality, you know, people get after the NBA player for whether they're taking games off or they don't compete as much as people would like in the regular season. I could not see a player going at this pace every other night for 75 games a year. The way this series is being played and the physicality that is on display, no player is holding up under a 75 game run if they played at the same level. It might piss people off in the regular season. Maybe they can find the right balance where it's not such easy offense for everyone and people will be a little physical and play defense. But when you're at the top of the sport and you know if, like, you're the Knicks or the Spurs, you believe you're going to make a finals, I could see pacing yourself, because look, I think we're very fortunate that we have not seen a player leave a game or miss time because of an injury. We saw it in the conference finals. We've been lucky that the top guys have all been able to stay on the floor. And as this series goes on, you see the guys getting up a little slower. You see an ankle turn here or knee twist here or just hitting the ground hard. If this goes seven, I'm just interested to see about the attrition. But so far, all the main players are there, and it's led to a highly competitive series where a shot here or a shot there late has been the difference. The Spurs had some intention last night. Wimby spent a lot of his time in the basket. It's the most amount of attempts he had near the basket all series long. And as you might imagine, his effective field goal percentage skyrocketed compared to game one, where I think it was like in a 30% range because of how many shots he took away from the basket. We'll see if that is something that the Knicks encounter. It's very hard to do when the guy is as big as he is and as mobile as he is, but the Spurs were intentional about their approach. Get him the ball near the rim, and that is our best bet, and they got it done. But the game, as I said, it kind of went like it has gone. The Spurs jump out. They got out to another lead in MSG. People were concerned about how they would respond. They responded just fine. No concerns. They were barking at people, whether it be players or people in the crowd. They were not concerned about the environment. And I didn't really expect them to. They just have a personality of, maybe it's partly they're too young to care, or it's just how all of those guys think. They went out there to take it from the Knicks. And the way the series has gone, the Spurs jump out first quarter, they get a nice lead, and the Knicks reel them back in. And by the time it was halftime, the Knicks were up by seven. They went on a run to close out the second quarter.
I think it was like a 42-24 quarter.
They made
like
shots.
That.
The Spurs could not get many. They didn't get many stops, and it ballooned to seven, but it almost immediately was gone to start the third. There was a a make, a turnover, and then you had nearly, it could have been like a 5-6 point play because Vassell knocked down a shot. Brunson was called for a flagrant. Vassell only made one out of the two free throws, and then the Spurs didn't score when they got the ball. So that 7-point lead went away pretty quickly, and it just led to the Spurs building momentum and taking the lead. And then, as I said, in the fourth quarter, the Knicks made the run. So we've got a 2-1 series with game four tomorrow, and then we'll see where we stand with that. But some of the non-basketball stuff beyond Castle having a good night, and, of course, Wimby had a great night, you've got the crowd in the building from Olivia Benson and Stabler at the game. Both of the two stars of SVU were there at the game. Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor. I still contend Christine Taylor's a talent in that marriage. She was Marsha Brady in the very Brady movie. Just saying.
It's true.
She put on a great performance there. Of course, Timmy Chalamet was there. Spike was hopping up and down. The Knicks former players, Larry Johnson, John Starks. It's got to be a tough thing for Charles Oakley, who was still banned from that arena. He called Patrick Ewing a bad person over the last couple of days for not defending him, not doing what he could to convince James Dolan to remove the ban and let him back in the building. So Charles Oakley, rightfully so, probably pretty hurt that he sees all his former teammates either sitting courtside or baseline, and he can't enter the building.
I mean, what is Patrick Ewing going to do to convince Dolan?
You say that, but Michael Jordan tried to get involved. Adam Silver and Michael Jordan tried to hash things out with Dolan and get Oakley back on the list of former Knicks who could attend games at MSG. Did not work out. James Dolan and MSG, they're like big brother as far as they watch. That story came out where they have cameras pointed at everyone.
Facial recognition,
they're watching
all that.
You, they're watching you as you go. So I think the story was they could pinpoint people who were either saying negative things about the Knicks or James Dolan, or they could find the signs. So it is one of those kind of dystopian things going on at MSG where big government is watching you. But in this case, it's the Knicks and James Dolan. And speaking of big government, you had the president of the United States there. Of course, Knicks fans didn't want him there because they thought he would ruin the vibes. And whether you want to blame him for the loss or not, that is a winning streak ended. He was, it looks like, caught sleeping at a point in the game. And, you know, he's tired. He's napping. It's fine. He's not a Knicks fan. Look, the big thing is Knicks fans are upset besides the inconvenience that the president being there would cause. He's not a fan of the Knicks. At least that's what they believe. So
you
they
don't believe he bleeds blue and orange?
They didn't want him there because they don't want anyone who's not a fan. That's why they don't want Stephen A. Smith there. They don't think he's a fan. So they don't want him.
You mean he's performative? No.
I mean, much like what you're doing.
Impossible.
Yeah, I believe, yes, they believe that there's some fakeness going on with a couple of the people who have big names who are associated with the team, and they just want this pure, so pure that they can go beat up Spurs fans outside after the game. We'll get into that. So I'm trying to think of anything else that happened beyond the game itself. Okay. On TV, it didn't sound like as bad as it actually was. If you find the videos online inside the arena when the president came up on the screen, he was booed loudly. It's not a surprise. Knicks fans, whether you talk about the state of New York or the city of New York as being a liberal one, or just the Knicks fans didn't want any outsiders at the game, he got booed. He likes to do, said, hey, he loved the reaction. People were very, very happy to see him. And then he insulted Stephen A. Smith, said he wasn't smart enough to be president. So we'll see if those two, because Stephen A. and Jaylen Brown will do the dance. We'll see if Stephen A. wants to smoke of doing the dance with the president of the United States. We'll see if it gets there. Because Stephen A. being called not smart is not something he would normally take lying down. We'll see if we get anything out of that. But other than that, the big thing was Knicks fans assaulting Spurs fans after the game.
Dang.
Like, if you were wearing a Spurs jersey, you were taking at least your safety into your own hands. It would have been an odd decision, I would think. I would advise anyone I knew who was going to the game who was not a Knicks fan, don't wear Spurs stuff. But you should be allowed to wear your jersey.
Was it like a on-site rule, apparently? Like, if you're in a Spurs jersey, it's on-site.
From the videos, it appeared, for the most part, they wanted to forcefully take the jersey off of you. A lot of the Knicks fans, from what I could tell, were asking, hey, take that off, in a very rude way, let's say. Take that jersey off. And if they didn't take it off, they would rip it off you.
Oh, well.
That's what it appeared. And if you did not fight back, they didn't swing on you. If you showed any resistance, running away, shoving one of them, throwing a punch, then a mob was going to try to stomp you out. That's what I saw. One guy was wearing a Duncan jersey. He didn't want to, and rightfully so, he didn't want to give up his jersey, and he didn't want to be physically accosted. So at a point, he tried to jog away, and then when he found someone trying to obstruct him, he took a swing. And that turned... set everything off. We had other people allow them to rip the jersey right off of them. It was just... And these are mostly people who didn't even enter the building, who weren't even in there watching the game. They are just part of a mob, who, if you want to call them that, who wants to be part of the content of being a Knicks fan outside of a game, calling a player a PAB, saying F this person, F that person, and then they decided that they're going to take it out on Spurs fans after the loss. I don't remember seeing that from the previous series, where if anyone was wearing a Cavs jersey, they would get accosted that way.
I don't think so.
I don't remember that being a thing. It went to new heights. You know, as people, as the hype builds and people see the notoriety you get from being on camera, it was now their turn, and they took it to a level where it's just out of bounds. Look, I said before that the Knicks are likable. The team, I don't dislike them. Like Brunson, Cat, all of them. Bridges, they all seem, as far as sports hate, they don't work that up for me. They win, I'll be fine. It's just Knicks fan. You know, not Anne Hathaway. Not Mariska Hargitay. That's great. Love that they're having a good time.
There's some cool Knicks fans.
Yeah, but if you're beating up a guy because he wanted to go watch his team play, probably a good... I don't even know if that guy was in the building. He would just happen to be strolling around, maybe wanted to be part of the experience with the Spurs jersey, and unfortunately, they took it out of him. It's not good. It makes it easy to root against the team when it's really the fans, and it's the fans who probably weren't anywhere near a seat that caused all of it.
Well, it's probably like you. I think you mentioned it at the end of John and Lance. Like, how many of them are real? How many of them are staged?
I was thinking that because there are some that feel like, hey, we need a moment for the camera. So we're going to put you in a Spurs jersey, because realistically, there's like, I was watching one of the kids. I say kids because they're younger than me, but he's probably early 20s, maybe 19 or whatever. Are you really a Spurs fan walking solo? Like, if you want to be in that environment, don't you have a couple people with you? All these people look like they're alone, and particularly the kid I saw where they just took off his jersey and then they stomped on it. He was just a one lone Spurs fan walking around the crowd. That's not how that normally goes.
No.
If he's any bit aware, he knows what he's walking into. You don't, like, there was no one around him to go, get off my boy. That one I just assume.
Yeah, that's red flag.
Considering he didn't take any hits, they just took the jersey off and stomped on it. That felt fake. The guy who took some punches, he was also alone, but he got hit. He was swinging on people, so that one, at least, it feels like from the outside, looks real. It's just, look, you can find the videos everywhere. It's just people acting poorly, which should be a pretty good moment with your team. Still 2 wins away, but has another home game, and maybe they're up 3-1 by the time they go back to San Antonio. And we'll see how the city of New York responds to the incidents outside of the arena. All right, we'll go to break. I see that someone wants to talk Astros. Unfortunately, I can't see that name. It's a little grayed out. But we'll get to you when we come back. But before we do any of that, I want to give you the chance to experience something pretty cool here. The World Cup is just days away, and we're giving you a chance through Michelob Ultra to go see the World Cup live in NRG. These will be, of course, Houston-based FIFA World Cup games brought to you by Michelob Ultra. And stay with me because we have added, or at least Michelob Ultra has added days and places you can be. All you have to do is show up at one of these locations and play an interactive soccer shootout game, and you get your chance to go to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup match. Let's start with Thursday. This is from 5 to 8 at Ojos Locos in Memorial, and then you have 2 to 5 on Thursday at Rodeo Goat in Edo. And then also, Christian's Tailgate from 5 to 8, this is Friday, in White Oak. Papa's on the Lake in Montgomery on Saturday from 3 to 6. Saturday from 4 to 7, the Marriott Marquis in downtown. You got Saturday at Highline Park in the Heights from 5 to 8. Little Woodrow's in Edo from 5 to 8, again on Saturday. Moonshine Deck in the Heights from 7 to 10 on Saturday. And then we move to Sunday. 12 to 3, Chapman and Kirby in Edo. Twin Peaks in Kirby from 3 to 6 on Sunday. And then from 5:30 to 8:30, Fabian's Latin Flavors downtown on Sunday, 5:30 to 8 p.m. And then I also want you to remember, Rodeo Goat is where ESPN 97.5 will be from 12 to 6 p.m. for the opening day of the tournament. Like I said, just a couple days away. Thursday is when the World Cup begins. Play for the chance to witness history, because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26. Let's get to AMF. He called in. He wants to talk to the Astros. We'll get to him. The Astros win late night. They beat the Angels in Anaheim. Thanks, Altuve. We'll call it reckless. It was a reckless play that worked out for him. And he scores a winning run in extra innings. What's up, AMF?
Not much, Bill. Hey, the last couple of times I turned the game off thinking they were going to lose, one was last Wednesday with that big old comeback. I was actually at the game. I had got some seats because of a pitching matchup. And then woke up the next morning to see what happened. And the same thing last night. So it's kind of cool. I don't know if I'm going to keep on playing that, you know, turning them off and hoping for the best. But I thought I'd throw that out there. But I want to pivot. And I know I could throw this at you. Between Drake's three albums that he just dropped and the one that J. Cole just dropped, are you leaning? Have you heard him yet?
See, I appreciate the belief, but I am completely out on Drake. Not, and this goes beyond or before this recent stuff. I still look at him as Jimmy from Degrassi, so I've never been a fan. I can't get past it. Your name is Aubrey to me.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Right. It's the same way. My wife's the same way. So I heard him, and I'm like, I can't get past the cadences are the same. The beats are similar. And then when J. Cole dropped it a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, all right, he's a storyteller. This guy can throw. Like his storytelling, his cadence, his beats, his he's got some features on there. And it's just one album, and I'm thinking to myself, you dropped three albums, and there's some people with mixed reviews, right? The Drake stans are going to be the Drake stans. But it was just a thought. I figured I'd drop it on your show rather than with John and Lance, who probably would just do right now what they're doing, which is not say a lot because, you know, me and you're chatting about it.
Sure.
But I just thought I'd throw it out there, man. The J. Cole I've been jamming to the last couple of weeks, it's grown on me a lot, man. And I like the kid. He's good. He's in his lane, and he spits real good stories, man. I just threw that out there, see what your thoughts were.
Appreciate AMF. I'm currently on Vince Staples' new album, so I haven't got it. That came out over the weekend, so I haven't got a chance with the J. Cole, even though that one's been out a little bit. Look, with Drake, I'm not in the majority, clearly. This is not me questioning his popularity, the talent, his ability to make a hit. He's never struck a chord with me. I've never wanted to go listen to Drake stuff. It's just not for me. That's all.
Never been a Headlines fan?
Name
Marvin's Room?
You can name a thing and the answer will be no.
No?
It's just not for me. That's all. It's not my thing. And I think we can all agree that sometimes even the most popular, it's not for you. And he just fits the category for me. I'm not even in a position to really challenge anyone on him because I just don't listen.
Wasn't it like Mos Def that said it was like mall music or something like that.
I think maybe said you hear it in Target or something like that. It's like Target music, something like that. That's not even my criticism because I don't even have enough knowledge of what of his songs to say that. Most def, I'll bow to his words because certainly he would know. Me, it's like and I hear it and just go. It doesn't connect. And since I realized that, I don't even try anymore. I get it. I watch him up there, and hell, he did Hotline Bling. And what was the one? Was God's Plans at the University of Miami? Yeah. The video for it.
Yeah.
So I'm aware of what he does, but get out of here. I actually prefer him as Jimmy in the Grassy. That stuff means more to me than his songs.
So you're saying you need that comeback?
I don't need
instead of dropping three albums at midnight, drop a couple of Degrassi.
I don't need them in my life at all, to be honest with you. I'm just saying if people were asking me what made a bigger impact on my life, Drake as Jimmy and Degrassi, or Aubrey as Jimmy and Degrassi, or Drake the musical superstar, I picked the kid who was playing in Canada with that bad haircut.
What are you talking about his haircut, man?
It
wasn't great.
Find the haircut. It's not. I forgot who he said was cutting his hair, but there was a change once he became Drake. Aubrey had the Jimmy haircut. Drake, okay, we gotta get a talented barber on that. That's all. This is not me picking a side. The side I pick is Jimmy's. Unfortunately, what happened to him in that series?
Yeah. Didn't go well.
No, he had a burgeoning basketball career, and then unfortunately something that has become far more regular than it should be happened in that series, and it led to him being in a wheelchair. But still, a great dramatic role by young Aubrey Graham.
Good job.
Yeah,
music.
I don't know. Nope, not even saying that. I think I was very diplomatic. I don't even hear it, so I don't have an opinion. That's how you get dance out of starting a war.
Smart. Yeah. Smart.
Thank you for the call, AMF. I wouldn't recommend the whole not watching and hoping and thinking they'll win. It's coincidence. We're just going to – what he's referencing is he turned it off in the midst of their giant comeback last week. It was a big one. It was a great comeback. It didn't lead to any momentum. That had to start in the A series, and then it continued when they got the win last night against the Angels. So
yeah, because the 91 pace started this week.
It started with going 12-7 in the last 19.
Yeah.
So it was finalized by what has happened the last couple games, and now they're on pace to win 90 games if they keep it up. They have to play 632 baseball the rest of the way, and then they're on pace for 90 wins. Of course, if we just go by what they're actually on pace for. It's far less than 90 wins. I mean,
if you want to look at math baseball,
there are sample sizes and then there are small ones. 19 isn't the smallest sample size, but it's a pretty small one for baseball. Hopefully that person and their data dredging is a good thing and it works in the Astros' favor. We will see about that. Okay, we got a couple minutes before we wrap up hour one. You can follow up and call in. Follow up after AMF, 713-780-3776. Okay, we'll get to this quickly. Michael, were you aware of Tom Brady's new venture before that link I put on the rundown?
I actually did see something about it yesterday.
Okay.
it led to this is what happens when you have just nothing but yes men around you.
So a couple former quarterbacks who are famous for different reasons now are starting new business ventures. Kirk Herbstreit, we know, famous for being on College Game Day on ESPN, less so for being a quarterback at Ohio State. But he has been part of our lives, if you love college football, for like, what, 3 decades now? It seems like maybe more at this point. He is going to Cameo, and he's featuring that golden with as well. I don't know if it's Pete. I forgot which was the first dog who passed away.
Is it Ben?
I don't know first, Ben or Pete. But either way, one of the goldens will be there. I'm not sure why anyone's – how big of a – I don't know any Kirk Herbstreit fans in my life. do I need Kirk Herbstreit sending me a happy birthday message? Because those are typical what cameos are. Or, hey, Dave, this is Kirk, and your buddy so-and-so wanted. I don't have that person in my life. I don't know anyone who wants to actually hear from Kirk on anything that isn't football-related.
Yeah, I only want to hear him, like, on a Saturday morning or whatever.
Calling a game or talking about college football. If it's not that, I'm not sure what I'm looking for.
I guess Thursday night football, but that's...
It's not a great game.
It's not great.
Him and Allen, I don't... Whatever, fine. But this is what Tom Brady's up to. My question on the rundown was which former quarterback is shaming the family name worse. I don't know what Kirk's going to do on Cameo, but he's going to be tough to beat Tom. Here's Tom Brady in a commercial for his new product.
Are you launching another celebrity seltzer brand?
No, I'm launching a brand new coconut water. It's actually really good.
Oh, what's it called?
So we called coconut farmers in Vietnam for this one, which, when you care about ingredients, it's kind of a huge deal.
No, not who you called, what's it called?
You called me!
Okay, just tell me what it's called, Tom.
When you have a product this good, it doesn't matter what it's called, okay?
Yeah, it kind of does.
If you missed it, with that lovely lady in the jingle, or whatever you call that at the end, Good Nut is the name of Tom Brady's coconut water venture. Look, you're the owner of the Raiders, man.
What are we doing?
You can, for most, you're the best quarterback of all time. You've got all these things going for you. You're the lead for Fox's play-by-play crew. What? Who's looking for coconut water from you? And the name is ridiculous, and it's done its job. It's got me talking about it. It has others talking about it. But who's buying coconut? Look, I guess some people do care. No celebrity endorser is really going to get me to buy anything, particularly a food product. Like, if you want to, I get a lifestyle brand, maybe a celebrity endorser will get you there. But coconut water?
No, coconut water's not doing it for you?
No, Nolan Ryan never got me to buy a sausage. I'm Nolan Ryan. Never got me. That stuff never gets me. If I like it, I like it. But just because you slap your face on it, Earl Campbell never got me to buy anything.
I will say it was good.
Well, that's important.
Yeah.
Breggy never got me to get a salsa. It's never worked. Have you tried it? Did you try it? Breggy Bomb, whatever it's called?
No, I didn't try the Breggy Bomb.
I can't name one time that a celebrity endorser got me to get one of their products. Either I find out that it's good or it's not. Nothing about you being a part of it's going to get me there. I'm not a fan of coconut water. I will certainly not buy this, but particularly because Tom Brady's talking about it. Normally, the name itself, I would be out on, but the fact that Tom Brady's associated with it, never spent a dime. That's my
just
protest.
Instant.
He's tortured me my entire adult life as a player. I'm not paying him. I'm not giving him anything. Like, if you are a fan of an AFC team, why would you ever give Tom Brady a buck? He has ruined a Sunday of yours at least twice.
At the very least.
And for me, it was generally twice a year unless he randomly lost the game to Miami down in Miami. For whatever reason, he had problems down in Miami. But for the most part, he's been a pain in my ass since I could really understand the game of football. And now I'm going to give him a couple bucks because he's selling coconut water? F out of here. Everyone should feel the same way. Like, think about it. What if, like, that's how Houston people treated Steph Curry's restaurant?
Yeah.
When Aisha Curry had the restaurant, they review bombed that thing to hell.
Didn't last long.
No. It was a poor choice to put a restaurant here, knowing the history of you and your torturing of the city of Houston. Anyone outside of New England, maybe Tampa, who buys Tom Brady's coconut water, has some shame.
You know.
At some point has ruined one of your Sundays. At least one. And because of his longevity, certainly more than one.
Different decades?
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Like, no one in St. Louis should ever buy one.
Nope.
Although they're now in L.A., so maybe. But he beat the L.A. Rams, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, he beat the
L.A.
St.
Louis
one, so.
And the L.A. Rams. So the cities of St. Louis and L.A. should be out. Philly, although you got your revenge, you should still be out. Who else? Atlanta, never, not a chance.
Oh, Atlanta, no.
Not a chance that, anyone in Atlanta should buy anything
associated with Tom Brady. That's just asking for PTSD at that point. Like, you know, 28-3, you know, that's the whole thing.
I'm trying to find, outside of the general New England area, New York maybe just buy it because it's a laugh. You beat them twice, maybe just laugh at it. But other than that, NFL City should be out on Tom Brady's products.
If it's priced $328 in Atlanta, that's messed up. I'm just saying. That's messed up.
That's tough. You can't do it. I don't know what a can of coconut water will cost.
I don't imagine it's $328.
That's
but
a
like,
very specific pricing. If
yeah, exactly.
He's rubbing it in. Speaking of pricing, before we go to break, I mentioned Kirk Herbstreit has his cameos that you can buy and have him send you a message. You want to take a guess what a cameo from Kirk Herbstreit costs?
$200, $300?
$275.
Ugh.
What could he possibly say?
I don't.
In those couple minutes, that would get me to pay $275 for it.
I don't want to pay for something. Like, what's the point in that? Like, I paid him $200. This rich person more money to just read off something I sent him.
As I said, I don't know anyone who's a big enough fan of Kirk Herbstreit that would bring joy to them. I have never found. In fact, most people I know are making fun of him for his alleged exploitation of his goldens. Those are the jokes being had in my group chats about Kirk Herbstreit.
I mean, they are cute dogs. I'm just saying. You know.
See, he got you.
Yeah, he got me.
Got you. It worked on you. All right, we'll go to break. We'll certainly take your call on anything. 713-780-3776. Hour 2 when we get back.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.